Welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, May the 5th, 2018, Season 12, Episode 17. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Sarah.
Welcome to the show, everyone. And Sarah, welcome to the show. Thank you for
You're
making
welcome.
The drive. Let's get this out of the way real quick and snap the clap. There, we're done. Lethal Migraine says he's pretty sure that's not Matt in Matt's chair. You would be correct, sir. Matt is not here with us today. He will be back next week, I believe. I would love to say that Sarah would be back next week, but she won't. Probably do the week after that, maybe. But, yeah, I wish Sarah could be here every week. She just can't. She has... Well, she lives an hour away, for one. It's a drive to get here.
Yes.
And then you've got, you know, a life that's an hour away that you have to deal with as well. So, if you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228, 334-272. Oh, you know what it does? It does still say Matt. Because I don't think of these things. Let me fix that live on the air, because that's horrible. That is just horrible. I'm doing this live while we're on the air. And there. Look at that.
Much better.
Yep. All right. So, I am so sorry. That's horrible. I didn't even think about that. Oh, God.
Matt's been through a lot of changes this
week.
Yeah,
right. AC Wraith in the chat room, thank you for pointing that out. So, I appreciate that. None of us in the studio notice this. We've been looking at that screen because there's some lights in the studio that we've been flipping on and off and just looking at the differences, and none of us noticed that Matt was still up there, but it's not for them to notice. It was for me, and I didn't do it, so I'm horrible. 272-9228 is the phone number to get in touch with us. You can go to ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook at InGameChat as well. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. We are streaming right now, and you can go to, well, Lethal, I didn't know that. I just thought you were looking at Sarah and said, I'm pretty sure that's not Matt, not, you know, the thing. We're streaming right now, which is what everybody's talking about, because they're seeing a camera feed, if you're just listening to us on the radio. You can go to twitch.tv, and you can type in game chat, and you can watch us live while we broadcast. So, and you can see when we do things like what just happened, so... welcome to the show, everybody. Jumping into, well, I mean, not really much to jump into. What happens around this time of the year is that a lot of things just start getting quiet. E3 is coming up, mm-hmm. Like the first or second week of June, and things just get really silent. You might get little teases with the end of it saying more to come at E3 or watch us on E3 or do this, but it's all leading to E3. So I know that we got a trailer for Red Dead Redemption 2. If Matt were here, he would want to be. He would say that we got a trailer for Red Dead. That trailer is not what I want. I don't get excited for video game trailers. I get excited for video game announcements when a company says we're going to announce something new. Here's what it is. Mm-hmm. I get excited about that because I'm looking forward to whatever it is they're going to announce. When they show a trailer for something or they say a new trailer for this game is coming up, I don't necessarily get excited about it because I know that they're not going to show us gameplay. There's not going to be some kind of like, you know, and there's probably a few shots in that trailer that they did for Red Dead that happened to contain gameplay. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell much of it, but, you know, I want gameplay. I want exactly what we got with Sony's E3 presentation for God of War. They played the game live on stage, and that's when I can get an idea of how your game plays. And I understand that this is a sequel, so I should have some idea of how the game plays, but this is also a sequel that is... it's been a long time since we've had this game to see if there's any changes, you know, just to see what's new, what's different, what have they changed. And I just don't get any of that. So, yeah, we did get a trailer. Sure, that's fine. We got box art. We didn't get a Steelbook announcement. Maybe I would have gotten excited about that.
I was about to ask if there was a Steelbook involved in this.
I didn't see any kind of special edition announced. Now, they may.
Probably.
Rockstar doesn't really do a lot of special. Well, okay, they do a lot of special editions, but it's a lot of over-the-top special editions. I remember Grand Theft Auto V had a special edition that came with, like, a duffel bag. And
a heist bag or something like that.
Yeah. Like a bunch of stuff that was not anywhere near anything that I wanted to spend any kind of money on.
Yeah.
But a lot of Steelbooks, no. Well, they don't do a lot of, at least they haven't in previous times. They haven't done a lot of those. So, just whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I look forward to any time we get new information for the game, but I'm looking for new information. I'm not looking for, did you see that part in the trailer when so-and-so did this? I don't want that, because that is all. I cannot be, oh, God, I'm forgetting his name. I'm friends with him on Facebook. He's a hip-hop gamer. We've had him on the show. Mm-hmm. And dude gets excited, man. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's a trailer, he's there. He's excited about it. And I love that optimism. I love that energy. I love that excitement that he has for it, because he has not yet been tainted with either disappointment or cynicism. He's just riding the wave of the instant, and you know, bless him for it. I can't fault him for that. When we get more information, when we see more gameplay, then I would love to talk about it, because then I can actually talk about it. I can actually, you know, kind of assess what I'm seeing there and tell you, oh, good, they've added this or they've done that. I can't tell you anything about this. Yeah. It looks pretty, but it's also a trailer. Yeah. So I can't say anything. Although I will say, I played God of War, and that's, the only way I can tell something's a cutscene is when I can't move the character anymore. That is the only way I can tell that that's a cutscene, is when I try to move my character and he doesn't. He's doing something else. That's when I know. Because that line is blurred well, just very, very well. Mm. Between cutscene and gameplay, that line is very well blurred. So, good job on them. Yes, that means I have finally started God of War. I have not made it very far. At all. I have basically played what was shown to us at Sony's E3, not last year, but maybe the year before, when old Kratos fights the big old giant with the big stone swinging bat thing. Mm-hmm. And that's about it. That's as far as I've gotten. That is probably the first 10 minutes of the game, but I was able to stretch it into the first 45 minutes of the game. Well, because they open it up to you, man. You tell your son to go hunting and you want to follow him while he tries to go and hunt. And as soon as it kind of opens up the forest to you, you see this little shiny thing over to the side, and it's like, oh, you found an artifact. And I'm like, oh, time for me to look for shiny artifacts. You know, tell your son, go off, go hunt. I'm going to do my thing. Well, of course he doesn't. He waits ahead of you for you to come ahead. But that's it, though. That's me running around, which takes some of the immersion out of a game. I don't like necessarily when they do that. I would prefer them to leave.
Don't give you branching paths until
when they're trying to tell a story like this, yes. If you're going to put me in an open world game like an Assassin's Creed or Batman Arkham City or anything like that, I get that. I totally understand that your open world, go do this. God of War has never been that open world. It has had secrets here and there, but they were on a very linear path that didn't require very much exploration. Here you're thrown into the woods. And even in the woods, I got to a certain section where the path split. I could go left, right, or forward. And I was following my son on his hunt. He had gone left, and I was like, well, the game obviously wants me to go this way. Mm-hmm. But I have another path I could take, and I kind of wanted to take that path. I didn't, because at this point I'd already been like 30 minutes into the game. I'm like, let's just do what the game wants me to do instead of trying to do this stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they throw these incentives out there where it's like, hey, you found, I can't remember, some kind of currency in the game, and I can't remember what it's called. Mm-hmm. There's some kind of, like, you found some coins, you found more coins. There's some health scattered here and there, but you found coins and things like that. I don't like the fact that they put that in there, and it's only a distraction so much as I let it be a distraction, right?
Right.
I have to be the one that lets it become a distraction.
Well, first of all, I'm thinking about what could have happened if you didn't follow the path that they told you to go on.
Right, and that is the thing that, I mean...
Could have been another item, could have been something valuable they needed later on. Is it something that's going to change the story?
Right, but I never liked that thinking. I never liked that sort of way of thinking. And maybe it is just God of War, and probably I'm thinking of maybe something else. Not necessarily Horizon Zero Dawn, because there is kind of like a crafting element to it, and there's a way to discover things, but Uncharted would be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Where the path is very linear, the story is the focus, not the traversal, or the sprawling landscape that they've given you to explore. It is the story itself. And I feel like God of War is... in that same vein, at least this one, is trying to tell a story. And I would tell you exactly the first thing you do in that game is the reason that I feel like they are trying to tell that story. It's a very, very somber, really moody opening to that game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spoil anything in whatever it is. It's kind of been spoiled, I guess, on the E3 thing, but I don't want to do anything like that.
Well, I mean, God of War has never been happy.
It's never been happy, but it's also been very, like, I'm ready to break stuff and smash. And it's very been...
It was dark, but it had a lot of rage and anger. It doesn't seem that way in, from the little bits and pieces I've seen.
It's been very Hulk.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go smash, mm-hmm. and I'm going to go scream, and I'm going to go tear things apart, and I'm going to do my thing.
Rage, anger, vengeance,
yes.
All that good
right.
stuff, yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's not there. Well, actually, you know, that stuff is not really there, I guess, in the beginning of this.
Mm-hmm.
In the 10 to 45 minutes that I've played, that I haven't seen. Will it ramp up and become that? It could, yes.
Probably.
And probably will. Yeah. But right now, it is starting out very, very somber. On a low note, maybe, I guess I would say. It's, like the first thing you do is just this heavy moment for the story. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like they should focus on the story. But when they throw these things at me, I feel kind of silly taking Kratos over places I've already been while his son's sitting up there waiting, you know? I'm putting it into a context of what the story's trying to be, and here I am off... trying to explore these little nooks and crannies of the woods that they put me in instead of, let's follow this path, let's do this thing. Maybe open it up a little bit later until we've gotten past this moment, perhaps? I don't know. But I feel the same way with you. Anytime a game starts me where it starts me, especially a side-scroller, I did this in Limbo, it puts me there.
I always go backwards.
I don't go, exactly. I don't go right, I go left. How far back can I go? I did it in Sonic. I couldn't do it in Mario, but I did it in Sonic. But I've done it in every game that puts me on a side-scrolling path, or any kind of path. Wherever you put me, I'm not going in the direction that you've given me. I'm going to turn around and see what's behind me before I go.
Yeah.
And I've always done that. And that's on me as well, but... It's one of those things where when you were talking about the paths of saying, well, what's down this way? Maybe it was more collectibles. Maybe it was. Or maybe it was a point in the story that I didn't need to be getting to yet. Game design shouldn't put me in that position. Mm. The design of a game should put you still on the path that they want you to go. But I never know if they've thought that far ahead in some game design. It's, you know, if you think in the MMO world, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't know what level those guys are. There's question marks over their head. Clearly, they're out-leveled than me. I don't need to be here right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually my key experience is something with a skull on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you know? If there's a skull next to your name, leave it alone.
Yeah.
Go back.
Yeah. So, this is not me complaining about the game. I'm not. I haven't played enough to give you a complaint about the game. The thing is beautiful. It is...
That's what I've heard most about.
It's playing a cinematic, and I don't even mean in the QuickTime event type style of that. It is just amazingly good looking. And those are just my assessments of like the first, what would be for most, the first 10 minutes, for me the first 45. haven't even upgraded my axe. I've only learned how to throw it and use it in combat, but I haven't yet learned how to increase its abilities or change its abilities and change all the sort of, I really just haven't gone that deep yet.
Yeah.
So
I was just hoping for different weapons later on down the line.
As far as I know, you just get the axe. You can upgrade it, though.
One weapon that is upgradable.
Yeah, I think there are some. I saw some slots in my character thing to where it looked like I could pick something else, but I don't remember. I'd have to look again. Mm-hmm. But I think you stick with the axe or fists. You can you can not use. You can just, you know.
Yeah, I've seen some bits.
Holster
bits
your axe.
Where he uses fists.
Sheath
yeah.
the axe. There's no sheath.
Probably put it in a harness of some kind.
Something like that.
Put it on his back.
Yeah, you know, does the old Captain America shield thing? It's just like clamp. So yeah. But you can use your fists, you can use your axe. And you can use the boy. You can use your son to fire arrows, which is more right now is he'll probably come in handy with when you upgrade him. But right now he's just a distraction, you know. If you've got too many that are focused on you at one time, you can hit that little button. He'll fire an arrow off and distract whatever. So
use him as a
bait.
Yeah. Basically.
Seemingly.
Yeah, so. like I did in The Last of Us.
It is, and in the same vein as the as Last of Us, again, I am way too early to make any kind of judgment calls of this is how it's going to be for the rest of the game. So far, first little boss fight, mini boss fight is probably what that I would call that. Kid took a licking and kept on ticking, man. It didn't. There was nothing warning me to say go help your kid, go do this. He took care of himself. I didn't have to worry about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Which was an issue in The Last of Us, actually, yeah.
Yeah. If you press the button for your son to fire an arrow at an enemy, he fires at whatever you're looking at that time.
Okay.
Whatever part of...
Is it like a lock-on? Like you're locked onto this enemy and he targets on what you're locked on?
You can lock on because you can throw your axe, right?
Right.
So you can lock on and throw your axe. If you're in lock-on mode and you fire the thing... He's going to fire wherever you're aiming at.
Yeah, okay.
But if you're just not in that mode, if you're not in the mode where you're trying to throw your axe or anything, if you're just looking at him, he'll shoot at, you know, whatever area that you happen to be, that the reticule happens to be on that enemy. Which means you could be looking at something completely different, and he will fire at that has no effect. Mm-hmm. On the enemy itself. If you're looking at the stone brick that he's carrying, it won't make any difference. Mm-hmm. So you have to be looking at the enemy. Again, these are no complaints. I'm not complaining. I have no reason to complain yet. I haven't played enough of the game to have a complaint. I am nitpicking on, I think, a problem that's more me than it is the game. My ADD side of things whenever I'm playing a video game. That's all I played, by the way. You know, if you want to go over what we played so far, that is all I played. I have another game that I got from a developer that I need to play. I played it at PAX, one of the PAXs, and I've got the thing. I totally forgot that I actually got it, and I need to play that. I've not picked up anything else, Sarah, what about you?
I have gone back to Destiny 2, getting ready for the expansion.
I know, that's coming up, right?
Yes. So I hadn't played the last batch of DLC. It just came out at a really busy time for me.
You got a lot to do there, then.
Yeah.
You think you've got a lot to do.
We finished up the main
story of Osiris. Yeah.
So there's still strikes and things like that. And
there's all those guns to collect.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know that'll be tough, but it's a week by week basis. That's all it is.
Did you end up keeping them all? When you got them?
I kept one of every one. I got a lot of dupes. Well, I got a lot of dupes after because when you unlock them, then you could start getting them from engrams.
Okay.
I kept at least one of everything I think that I got.
Yeah.
But. All I was doing it for was to get the Osiris shell at the very end, getting the loot, because they're really, didn't really find any of those two. If I remember right, I think the Pulse rifle that came with it was nice. The Pulse or the Scout, I think, was actually pretty good.
I think I stuck with the Scout. The Pulse fired too slow for my taste.
It was one of those. It was one of those that I actually was like, hey, this ain't bad. And the hand cannon actually was pretty good, too, I believe.
Yeah, Jack Queen King?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that was actually pretty good out of that. But I did it just to get the shell from my ghost. Yeah.
So I've got, I just hit the level cap. My light level is still way low, so I've got plenty to do.
Yeah.
And then I've also been playing some more Vermintide. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my go-to. I don't really have anything to play. I'll get online with one of my friends and play that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Lethal Migrant is saying everybody experiences games differently. I could tell the whole story, and what I experienced wouldn't be what you would. I get that, man, but the opening of the game, and by the opening, I mean like the very, very first. It would be like telling you what the opening cinematic is for a game that sets the story. This doesn't set the story, but it's a pretty big deal that opens the game. And I'd rather not ruin that for anybody else who kind of wants to go in completely unknown about any of that. That's my whole thing. I actually agree with you. Everybody does experience games differently because I think I've had games spoiled for me because I've told people I'm probably never going to play that game. Go ahead and tell me. They tell me years later the sale is down to like $5. I've totally forgotten whatever it is they told me that was a spoiler, and I played it. So yeah, I agree with them in that you know it's going to be a different thing for everybody to experience. But this is like the first thing of the game, so I'm not gonna do that. People who play it will understand what I mean. So that's my point. Did you play anything else? Destiny? Just Destiny? That's it?
Destiny, Vermintide. I think I talked about Sea of Thieves last time.
Yeah.
I was here.
What? Can't remember.
Maybe not. I played a little bit of Sea of Thieves. I found it disappointing.
You haven't been here since the D&D episode.
Yeah. I can't remember if I called in.
I think you did because I think you played the beta.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I dipped my toe in the Sea of Thieves for all of a week, and then it was done.
That's about what I did as well.
What a disappointment that was, right? You going to do the State of Decay 2?
Probably not.
Are you an Xbox Games Pass member thing?
No.
It's not a bad thing to jump into. It's what I did to play Sea of Thieves.
I did the free trial and then canceled it.
Yeah. Well, again, it's $10 a month, so re-up, pay $10, you get to play State of Decay 2 for a month.
True.
You know? And if it's good, great. And if it's not, then, you know, whatever. But I love that Xbox Games Pass. It's fantastic. We're going to take a break, and then we'll get what RJ has played. But that's good. You know, all for you?
Yeah.
That's all? All right. Mm-hmm. Well, so we're going to take a break. Again, I theme everything with the music. We'll see if you can figure it out. I don't want to say I went obscure with this one. I may have went obscure with the selections. But we'll see. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat here in just a moment. This is music from StarCraft II. It's the new expansion, not the one that's due up, but the last one that they did, Heart of the Swarm. It's called Ascension. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. back to In-Game Chats. I'm Scott, along with Sarah and RJ. Music here from Total War Rome 2. It's Imperia is the title of the track. If you'd like to watch the show, you can do so by going to twitch.tv and typing in In-Game Chat in the search bar there, and you'll find us. You can also just go to ingamechat.net and click on the links on the right to have all kinds of ways to interact with the show. Now, we talked about games we had played. I touched God of War, and Sarah had played Destiny 2 and Vermintide, a few things there. Now we're going to find out what RJ has played this past week.
Played a couple of fighting games this week. A little bit more of a Street Fighter V. I'm doing some things in casual matches and ranked matches. Ranked matches being, of course, ranking the queue of people, of all the people who play online. And for some reason, I don't do as well, nowhere near as well, actually, in ranked matches as I do in casual matches. I'm thinking it's because maybe people just don't take it as seriously. Mm-hmm. But if I could do what I do in casual and ranked, I'd be a lot higher than I am. Like, I did the looking at the Capcom Fighting Network, you can see your stats and how well you do. There's a stat in there where you have your last 100 matches. In the last 100 casual matches, I've got a 72% win percentage. But in my ranked, I'm like 53, 52, somewhere around that area. So, like, lose one, win one, lose two, win one, you know, up and down. Very inconsistent. But I'm working on picking that up. The other fighting game I played is King of Fighters 14. We had a nice little get-together at GT. This past Friday. So I had about four or five folks.
Last night?
Yeah.
Or?
Last night.
Okay.
Yeah. About four or five folks got together. We had a little setup in the back. Brought my monitor. We set the thing up. Brought my console. We had everything going. Had a nice little 3-4 hours of playing that. Learned some stuff because I hadn't played in a while. It was something.
And what
I
was the game again?
King of Fighters 14.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got back into that. And I picked up some stuff and I'm going to be practicing that a little bit more as well. Also played a little bit more of MLB The Show, doing some more things in Diamond Dynasty, building up my custom team, playing that a little bit. And I finally got time to play the demo you were talking about for Detroit.
Detroit,
yes. I finally got to play that.
There's not one. Is that for Xbox? There's no one for
Xbox. It should be.
I haven't looked.
Is it not a PlayStation-only game?
I don't think it's exclusive.
Go ahead and tell us about it. I'll look this up.
Playing the demo, of course, the pasta situation that you were talking about as well. I ended up getting three endings out of that. I think the first one I got was, I believe, the one you had, the one where Connor sacrificed himself in saving the
It's PlayStation
girl.
Only.
It is. Wow.
That is a PlayStation 4 only game.
Jeez.
All right, Sarah, got to get you a PlayStation
4. You keep saying that.
And I'm going to do it. What are you doing after the show?
Going home?
With a PS4.
With a PS4.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but I think it's the same one you got where Connor sacrificed himself to save the hostage.
I got two different ones. Well, I got the one where he lets the girl go and then the snipers take him out.
Mm-hmm. Is that the first one you got?
Yes.
Okay, the first one I got, okay.
And then after that, I kept getting, because I kept trying different things. I knew I had to keep the gun, but every time I kept the gun, I would try something different and would never get the option again to shoot him. It always ended up being the one where he charges and sacrifices himself, saves the girl, but sacrifices himself.
Well, from what I was thinking throughout the game was that there was no way Daniel was going to live through that thing, in my estimation. I mean, as soon as I saw that he was shooting...
Oh, the android. The defective one? No.
There was no way he was living through that because, first you saw the dead father in there.
Yeah.
But when I saw the dead policeman in there, I was like, okay, yeah, there's no way he's...
Well,
he's
I mean, even that. So, I mean, one of the options is for you to I think, tell Daniel the truth or reason with him or I can't remember what the description is of what the way that you speak. Again, it does the whole Mass Effect thing where it gives you an option of how to react, and then it says something completely different than what it's like. Yeah. Oh, that sounds really harsh.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was like a friendly approach or a cold approach, because I did both.
There's those, and then there was one where it's like, be rational or be honest or something like that. And he says something, he's like, you're defective. There's no way out of this.
There's no getting out of this.
Where you don't get, but they can fix you. they can fix you. I think is one of the things that you can tell the thing, the android. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember. But it does, he does kind of lay it out to him as like, this is it. Like, it doesn't matter. You can sacrifice yourself and it's going to be done, or you can come quietly and they're still going to, you know, they're still going to take care of
him. Take him out. It was like, yeah, but I got the sacrifice yourself where I shot Daniel, Connor shot Daniel, and then the one where the snipers took out Daniel. I got those three endings. And I went back and forth trying to get the other, see if there are other things I can get, but I mm-hmm. it was locked down to those three. There yeah. was like, what, six or seven different endings there could have been?
I want to say there was five different endings, but there was a ton of ways to get there.
Yeah, a lot of different ways to get there, but I never found it. Pick up the gun, leave the gun.
Yeah.
But I think those are the biggest ones.
Did you pick up the fish?
The first time I did, I picked up
the
fish.
The very first one? Yeah, okay.
I think it says something in the upper left corner about something that indicates that this is not android behavior. Something's wrong with this programming or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's one of those things. Yeah.
Did you check the percentages of the way?
I did. I don't remember what they are. This was last. This would have been.
Yep.
Yeah, this would have been last Friday, basically. Mm-hmm. Not this past one, but last Friday when I would have looked at that. So, yeah. I mean, I checked the world percentages, and then I checked my friend's percentage of mm-hmm. things. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Well, I can't remember what they were.
Yeah. Well, looks like I'll probably pick
How many
up.
Times did you go through it?
I think about five. That's like five different iterations I went through trying there to get those different endings.
Now, I could look this up online, but I'll just ask you. mm-hmm. There was a section, so like you investigate the inside of the house, right?
Right.
And there's a point there where you go outside. Mm-hmm. On the flow chart, there's the point at which you go outside, but then there's something that branches off before you ever go outside to something else. And I don't know what that is.
To the left?
Well, on the flow chart, it branches up, basically. If you're looking at the flow chart, it branches
up. Okay, the flow chart, yeah.
Like, almost everything leads to outside, but then there was one part of that where you could have done something different, I guess, other than go outside. Maybe if you wait and don't ever go outside.
There's a waste of time option on there. I know that.
That's
part.
What I'm thinking. I'm thinking if you just wait and
that.
Do nothing.
I've done that. Waste of time.
Okay.
Someone else got shot.
Oh wow.
So.
But did it end? Did the demo end?
It didn't end.
So you still had to go outside.
Still had to go outside. The captain said, "What are you waiting for? Get out there and do something." I mean, they're trying to really push you into going outside.
Because there's on the refrigerator in the apartment, you can sit there and watch a news broadcast.
Right, yeah.
And how long did you watch that before you muted it and moved on?
About 5-10 seconds.
I'm curious if you can just sit there and watch that, what happens?
No, we can always find out.
I mean, I don't know. This is
there's a lot of little
this
things.
This is why it took you 45 minutes to play 10
right.
minutes of God of War.
This is the point that I'm – this goes back to what I said, but – this is explicitly a choose-your-own-adventure type of thing.
Yeah.
So finding and there's also a finite amount of pathways, which they show you what they are.
So they show you all the pathways
God.
In there, but how to get there is the problem.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to figure out how to get there. So then it turns into a puzzle game. But yes, this caters to my mm-hmm. ADD type of thing where I want to explore all the paths.
Yeah, what happens if I do this?
Mm-hmm.
And then lather, rinse, repeat.
But in these games, and I would tell you this, in these games and in a lot of things, I would love for them, after the game is over with, give you the choice of, do you want to see the canonical path, you know, mm-hmm. the one that we're accepting as canon of what you do, so that you can figure out how to follow that path. It doesn't have to reveal how to trigger any of those things. It's just like, we went this way, mm-hmm. you know. I kind of wanted that in Heavy Rain because everybody gets so many different endings. It's like, which one is the preferred ending to the developers or to which one is considered, here's the ending that you need to get to or mm-hmm. that we wanted most people to get to. I get games that have a good ending and a bad ending. I understand that.
Yeah.
But
with things that have more of a neutral ending, I feel like you get a lot of backlash from people who are like, okay, well, you just invalidated my ending by saying that there's a preferred ending.
Mm. That's why I kind of want that to be left up to a choice that you make.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to see it? Are you happy with this? Or do you want to see the path to get to what is considered I don't know.
What's the worst ending? What's the most optimal ending? What's the most tragic ending?
Because I
What's
agree most, that yeah. sort of thing yeah. is in, like, the Telltale series, the Walking Dead Telltale series. You can make choices beyond choices beyond choices, but you always end up with, in the first game, you always end up with, and now I've forgotten the characters' names, the little girl and the main character.
Yeah.
You always end up there. With making that choice of, do I do this or do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's it. No matter what you've done in four episodes previous, regardless of people dying or taking left when you should have gone right or any of that stuff, you always end up at that point, which does feel a little bit like my choices are kind of invalidated because right. I don't end up in something completely different. David Cage games, especially games like Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, no. Heavy Rain and what looks like Detroit, very, very, your choices did make a difference because here's what you're left with.
Yeah, your choices matter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If someone dies early, of course.
What's the other one? Until Dawn, I think, because characters do die and the game just keeps going.
There's plenty of opportunities for you to screw up and get everybody killed in that game.
Yeah.
But the game keeps going regardless.
It keeps going regardless. Yeah.
That was one thing I really liked about Mass Effect 2. Mm-hmm. You could get a lot of your crew killed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the game keeps going,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it kept going.
Hmm.
It would find a way to finish the story. Yeah.
So does Mass Effect 3 have a canonical take from Mass Effect 2 that it went with? Or did it build from that?
It built from that. Depending on who you got killed, you had to deal with different options.
Okay.
So.
That's interesting.
You
couldn't do
within
it too
limits.
Much. Yeah.
But, you know, and then it built to the ending that made everybody incredibly angry.
I don't even want
to
go into
whatever.
That.
If you got certain characters killed in 2 and you imported your save, they were not available.
Interesting. I'm trying to think of a game that had multiple endings, but when they released the sequel, they said, this is the ending that we're going with when we start this sequel. And I know that they exist, but I can't think of what they are.
That's why I've seen something like that before myself.
Right?
Yeah, I think I have seen something like that. A sequel where
maybe it was. Oh God, what Infamous? Did Infamous and then Infamous 2? Did they pick a?
Infamous had an evil ending and a good ending, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Infamous 2 starts off in a what new something? It's a new base.
It does.
Pretend version of New Orleans.
It does, like, but I want to say it assumed that you.
Yeah, I think it assumed
took a different
that you took
ending. You took a good
took
ending,
good
I guess,
route.
But I don't know. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just trying to think of something that sort of put that on. Which again would deem every choice that you ever made insignificant when they do that. I don't necessarily think we're getting a sequel out of Detroit, but again, this feels like. The story continues that way. I was trying to make some comparisons with God of War and Detroit, and you really can't do that because God of War, still, while exploration is in there, is a very linear game. Detroit, massively non-linear type of situation. It is a choose-your-own-adventure type of situation with different scenarios that have different endings and that sort of thing, so...
Yeah, so the chat room says Dishonored.
Spam Daddy.
Yeah.
That is right. Dishonored did that. Dishonored, when they did Dishonored 2, it assumed that you had a certain ending from Dishonored 1.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dishonored 1 did not have a good ending or a bad ending. Yeah, I guess it kind of did.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the way that you went about it. Did you go completely stealth and not kill anyone? Mm-hmm. Did you go stealth but still kill people? Mm-hmm. You know, based on how sloppy you were or how merciful you were, you got a certain ending to that. And they decided to go with, so Dishonored 2, yes. That's probably the one that I'm trying to think about. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, exactly. So thank you, chat room, for filling in that gap. Is Detroit something that you were going to probably play or did the demo?
I'll probably play it. I probably have a better experience with that than I did Beyond Two Souls.
I'd never liked Beyond Two Souls. Yeah, and we talked about that.
Yeah,
we talked about why. because Beyond Two Souls gave you two choices at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Again, another situation where it didn't matter
all
what
the choices
you
make, no matter what, you still boil down to two choices.
Didn't
at the
matter.
End.
Didn't all matter. That, the entire time you played that game, none of it mattered until you got to the end. Did you pick this or did you pick that?
Yeah.
And that was completely it. Mm-hmm. So I am.
And after playing Heavy Rain, which I enjoy completely,
right?
I get to that, and that was a real disappointment.
I was really massively disappointed. Did you play Heavy Rain? Did you have a PS3?
No.
All right.
I had a PS2.
That doesn't count.
That was the last.
When you're already at number four, and when you're already at the third generation or whatever, I don't know what generation we're sitting at right now, but still.
Current.
Yeah, my console history is brief. PS2, 360, Xbox One.
Stuck to the Xbox type things, huh? Which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anything else?
That's pretty much it. Those titles, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. I don't know of anything coming up this week. Again, it gets to...
Destiny 2.
Destiny 2 expansion. That's
true. Yeah, see,
true.
I can't... What date does that come out?
May 8th.
What is that, Tuesday?
Yeah.
It's Tuesday.
Jeez, I haven't even...
It's been
a long time since I played the game, really.
If I do anything with it, I'm going to be on PC where I do it.
I know.
I got further on PC than I ever got on my console.
I know.
And...
Yeah. You guys were all like, get a PS4. Get a PS4. You can play with us. And then you all moved to PC, so it was irrelevant.
I'm still on a PS4.
They moved to PC. I'm still on
that's
PS4.
True.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, PC's really nice looking, though. 60 or I got unlimited frame rate, man. It just moves so smooth and amazing. That mouse and keyboard thing is really amazing.
See, I've never played mouse and keyboard, so
I'm didn't think
pretty
it was
sure
be,
I would just be like, I don't know what's happening, and
I
then
felt
I do a little
same
dance
way.
Because
playing
I can't
the,
do anything else.
Playing the demo/beta, I was the same way. I was exactly the same way because it felt awkward. But the more I did with it, the more I was like, ooh, this is nice. It's really nice with that mouse aim control right there. It was really, really good.
Yeah, but the new PC is way less likely than the PS4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I'll play that. I've already bought it, so, of course, I'm going to play it. I got the season pass with it. So I'll still put time in with it. And I'll see if it holds me. I know that they're trying to pull people back in. I think a lot of their player base kind of dissipated after this Osiris stuff and seeing things that were not, that just weren't Destiny. It never felt like Destiny for them. And a lot of players left. I completely lost interest. And I mean, I'll come back and check out the new content and maybe it pulls me back in. I hope it does. I don't know.
I know a lot of people have been saying that about Destiny 2. I skipped out of Destiny 1 before any of the DLC came out just because of life circumstances. And so I came back with Taken King and played everything up to that and then stayed with it all the way through the end.
But Taken King...
Taking a long break seems perfectly normal to me.
Yeah, you got a nice, welcome home. Basically, from Taken King.
Yeah.
We got a... And I didn't stick with it very long before Taken King either. I was done before December of the year it launched. And I didn't come back to it until... I came back to it when they announced the Moments of Triumph, which was like, did you do all of this stuff throughout the year? So I went to... Because I was achievement hunting is what
yes,
I was
you
doing. Give me a trophy. So I did all those little checkpoints so that I could have... so I could fill my completion type thing. And then I did them for year two through Taken King as well. And I never did it for year three. And I probably won't have it for whatever they're doing for this year. They do have something. They mentioned that they do have something planned for the fall for Destiny 2. Something massively, completely different, but still in the Destiny type universe sort of thing. But something major. A lot like what Taken King was. Mm-hmm. So an overhaul, maybe, I don't know, but yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there on Tuesday to give it to give some time into it, at least on PC. Play the story of whatever it is that they're giving us. See all the new stuff, and check it out and see if it holds my attention. Really see if it holds my attention. Spam Day is asking, did I miss any RPG talk today? No, you haven't missed any RPG talk. So I apologize. none yet. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. I don't know who this is because we don't have Matt here to answer the phones, but you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
This is Chris.
Hey, Chris. How you doing, man?
Not too bad. So you finally got into God of War, huh?
I mean...
A little bit.
I'm the
same way, you know. I like to explore and, I don't want to do that yet. I want to explore every nook and cranny. Okay, now I'm ready to go on.
Yeah. If God of War was the size of the pizza at Big Lou's, then I pulled a single slice of pepperoni off of that giant pizza.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what, that's how much I played of God of War. So yeah,
you took a piece of pepperoni off of it and ate
just
that.
A piece of pepperoni, yeah, a piece of regular sized pepperoni, not oversized
right.
pepperoni.
Right.
Piece of regular sized pepperoni off of a gigantic 60-inch pizza. I think it was 60 or is it 48?
I think it's 40. Well, see, I'm getting some.
Don't. It's not important.
It's just a big pizza.
Just a gigantic pizza that I took, not even a bite. It's like I smelled it. That's it. It's still sitting there waiting for me to devour. And I'm just in the room, smells really good. That's it, you know. So, yeah I haven't.
I haven't got into it yet. I'm still waiting. I'm still working on getting through everything of Far Cry 5 and doing this and doing the missions just so I can get out of it and do something else. But, yeah, I'm really tempted to get into it pretty soon if I can.
Yeah, no, I haven't... like I said, I'll put more time into it by the time, you know, we come back next week, obviously. But yeah, I have only just not even tried to scratch the surface. I've just touched the surface. I haven't even scratched it. So,
do you ever play some of those Elder Scrolls games like Skyrim and stuff? Do you probably like those? Those are
actually no, I did not like those at all. I played one of the launch titles, one of the big anticipated launch titles for the Xbox 360 was Oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that, and it put me in a dungeon with no clothes or anything else. It's just I'm in a dungeon, and I couldn't figure out how to get out of the dungeon. And I was like, I don't want to play this anymore.
Did you ever play Skyrim? Or
no.
Did the bad taste from Oblivion carry
Yeah,
over?
I never played Skyrim.
I think we need to make a deal. Sarah can get a PlayStation 4, and then in turn she can get him hooked on Skyrim.
I mean, I've got
that's
Skyrim.
That's a slightly uneven trade.
Yeah. No, I've got Skyrim. I've got Skyrim on my PC. I think it was gifted to me from Drew, a friend of mine. Track Zero was his name. I think he gave me Skyrim, the whole everything edition type thing. So I've got that. I haven't done anything with it. It's a time period. It's set in an area that I don't really that never has really drawn me. I've tried it with Dragon Age.
And yet you're playing God of War.
And yeah, I'm playing God of War. Yeah, well, that's Vikings. It's Norse mythology and it's I don't know, it's whatever, and God of War was Greek mythology and I was really into that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Dragon Age did not hold my attention.
I didn't really like Dragon Age either that much, but if you like exploring, you know, and the Dungeons and Dragons type builds, you know, swords and sorcery, then Skyrim's probably, you know, that's pretty much right up your alley and stuff. But It's a fun one. You know, it's one of those things you can do whatever you want to in this world.
Yeah. I know. It's there and I've never tried it. Oblivion I was never into, so no, I've never done any of the Elder Scrolls stuff. I hear great things about them, but I have never really... I tried with Oblivion, but I haven't tried with Skyrim.
Yeah, I never played Oblivion, but I played...
A ridiculous amount of Skyrim. Yeah. So that might be something I look into. I mean, I've got a lot to do, but that might be something I look into eventually at some point. So,
yeah, it's one of those, if you get hooked on it, you're going to be sitting down and playing that for a long time.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you calling, man. We got to run. We're at the top of the hour here. Got to take a break.
All right. Well, y'all have a good one.
Bye. You too, man. Y'all. Take care.
Take care now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We will come back with more of in-game chat. I'll answer those questions. I'm getting asked a bunch of questions in the chat room. I'll answer those when we come back. and address them and answer them. But going into the break here, we've got music from Star Trek Online. It's, I guess, battle music that plays during a tutorial. There is no real track name for this other than tutorial battle. So, anyway, we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Sounds awfully epic, doesn't it?
It does.
Welcome back to In-Game Chat. That's music from Star Wars, The Old Republic. The MMO there. The main theme for it, by the way. I'm Scott, along with Sarah and RJ. You can watch us right now on Twitch. If you want to do that, go to twitch.tv, type in In-Game Chat, and that's where you can find the show. Again, you can just go to ingamechat.net and click on the links. There's links over to the left where you can get in touch with us through Facebook, Twitter, all this stuff. So, welcome back to the show. So, I was getting asked questions in the chat room here did I miss any? Spam Daddy want to know if you missed any RPG talk today. No, we hadn't talked about anything. Bethesda's new space RPG, which I wasn't exactly sure what they were talking about, so I'm clicking on the link that was provided. Let's see. I thought there was another question. Oh, how are you with 8-bit and 16-bit RPGs? They never held my attention back in the day, so I didn't...
Is that the JRPGs RPG style?
Just RPGs in general. Okay. When I was playing my Nintendo and stuff, I did not play any RPGs. They did not hold my attention. I wanted side-scrolling. Side-scrolling hack and slash, mm-hmm. You know, get from point A to point B on the thing and then just keep going. Never really... I wasn't a very... What's the term? I didn't sort of expand my horizons playing in the NES, in the 8-bit and the 16-bit days. Mm-hmm. I really didn't. I stuck to, I want to say popular opinion, popular vote type situation. So my NES days consisted of, and I had a lot of games for my Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were games like Punch-Out, Mario, Duck Hunt, Rad Racer.
Yeah. Action adventure type things.
Yeah, yeah, it was never. I had Dragon Warrior,
mm-hmm.
but I never played it, and I can't remember how I got it. I want to say I got it for free or something. I know it was a game that I did not buy.
Yeah, it'd be a gift to some.
That's what I'm thinking, that it was some kind of gift.
Mm-hmm.
But I had Dragon Warrior. But other than that, that was like the only RPG in my inventory there, as far mm-hmm. as my gaming was concerned. In the 8-bit days,
yeah.
16-bit days, I didn't really do a lot of it, but I only had the highlights of the SNES days at the time, the things that were getting at the most attention, which was Mortal Kombat, NBA Jam, Donkey Kong Country,
mm-hmm.
Uniracers, which is not actually, doesn't fit in with there. But again, it's a racing game. I liked it. And then the other thing was I got Mario Paint for God knows what reason, because
mm-hmm.
it was unique and it had a gimmick. And I was a sucker for a gimmick. Yeah, that whole thing, sucker born every minute, that was me.
Yeah.
I was born with, I'm a sucker. I'm a mm-hmm. sucker for I was a sucker for a gimmick. I think mm-hmm. I still am because of the steelbooks that I buy. Yeah. But
Lethal Migraine says you should just buy the steelbooks and then give me the games.
I'm not really opposed to doing that. But in that regard, then, you should buy the steelbooks and just give me the steelbooks. So I'm not exactly opposed to doing something like that.
Didn't someone do that? They just sold a steelbook cover for like $5 for the game for the.
There's a ton of I've been on plenty of forums that talk about steelbooks. It gets even worse than that. People do it with the lenticular slip covers over DVDs.
Right.
You know, that have a little. You can move them around and they sort of animate or something.
Right.
There's people that preserve those. And there's people that just sell those. Because mm-hmm. there are collectors of those things, which for me seems really weird, but I'm sure me telling other people I collect cases of things, not the things inside of them.
Well, look, everything's collectible these days. Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's subjective.
Somebody
you know,
wants it.
It's always subjective. So
I'll stick with my 7,000 Funko Pops.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet it.
Oh, wow. I'm getting a ton of calls here, so let me go to the lines and see who we've got. You're on in-game chat. Who's this?
It's me again. did you have a subscription to Nintendo Power, Scott?
Of course. That's is that where I got Dragon Warrior?
Yeah, that's where you got Dragon Warrior.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's what started me off. That and Final Fantasy were the great, great ancestors of all the role-playing games I've ever played. So thank you, Square and Enix.
Okay, I think that's. I think that must have been what the other person on the line was calling for, because we had the both lines were lit up. Oh, wait, there they go again. Well, Chris, I appreciate it.
All right,
thank you.
See y'all later. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Hey, you're on in-game chat. Who's this? Hello?
Hey, this is Billy. I was trying to find out how we could get a hold of El Niños, one of your sponsors.
El Niños?
Yes, the Mexican restaurant.
I don't know. It's not familiar with me. El Niños. El Jalisco's?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
We're just trying to figure out if they were doing anything for Cinco de Mayo.
I would imagine they are.
Okay, how will we get a hold of them?
Let me look up. I don't know.
Okay.
Let me look it up online. And I will give you... you want to call them? You want a phone number?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
409-2078.
And what was that again?
409-2078.
409-2078.
That's it.
Thank you.
All right. We're a service. We can, you know.
folks, this is a radio station.
It is a radio station. It's a live radio
advertisers
station.
And everything.
And we're not screening calls. So, you know, you're going to get stuff like that. But yeah, El Niños. No. Dude, I was like, I can't figure out what he's talking about. El Niño.
We got him the information he needed in the end.
Exactly.
I'm a librarian. That's
I kind of forgot it is Cinco de Mayo, too.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, I totally forgot. So let me. So I'm looking at this link here that Spam Daddy put in the chat room here for Bethesda announced fourth annual E3 2018 press conference, promises a special evening. As we see here, Bethesda puts a lot of stock in the event. It's where Fallout 4 was revealed, Doom 2, or Dishonored 2, Doom, Prey, The Evil Within 2. Yes. So yeah. There's really, I don't know. Apparently there's a space RPG that they're working on. I don't know what it's going to be, but I guess we'll find out at E3. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of RPGs. I think the one I did was Working Designs on the Saturn. When I think Magic Knight Rayearth was like one of the last when people were competing to be the last Saturn game.
Oh, really?
That came out, yeah. I think people are still working on Saturn homebrews. It was a time when people were like trying to be the last Saturn game made mm-hmm. and be collectible. So Working Designs put out Magic Knight Rayearth, and then someone else put something else out like 2-3 months later things like that. But I think that was one of the RPGs I played.
Well, you know, let me go back. Is Zelda considered an RPG on NES? Do you consider that? Does Zelda count as an RPG or no?
I think it would be more of an adventure title, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, because I still didn't play it. Yeah, I totally didn't. The first Zelda game I ever played was Wind Waker. That was the very first Zelda game I played, and that was on the GameCube.
I played the one on the Wii for about 10 minutes before I got real mad at it.
Yeah, well, everybody, that's the description of any game that ever was played on the Wii. I played it for about 10 minutes before I got mad at it.
I loved the Resident Evil side-scroller.
On the Wii?
Yes.
Did it involve waggy controls? Was it waggle?
It was a light gun.
Okay. That's fine. That's not bad at all.
It was awesome. Resident Evil Chronicles?
The Dead Space game on Wii was good, too. The Dead Space, whatever it was, where you could, you were on rails, and it was a shooter, but you were on rails.
Yeah, for that's Dead how Space. The... Yeah.
I think I got that free from a PlayStation Plus one time.
Yeah, that's how the Resident Evil one was, and you could play it co-op as well, which was nice.
Yeah. But no, I never played the...
Resident Evil Survivor, light gun shooter.
No, it wasn't that.
Wasn't that one? Okay.
But that's the only one that was released on the Wii, right?
I don't think it was
called Survivor, though. I'll look it up. Maybe something else then.
Yeah.
Yeah. But outside of that, yeah, but I always thought the traditional RPG was the JRPG, the wait your turn strategizing type thing. I thought that was what the traditional RPG was.
I think you would classify that under Final Fantasy whenever they started doing that.
Yeah.
For the NES, and I wasn't there. I mean, I was there, but that was not appealing to me.
Yeah. It's like in Sega's run, they had the Phantasy Star franchise, and I never got into that because of the wait and turn system. I didn't really get into Phantasy Star until they did the Phantasy Star Online, where it was action oriented, where I didn't have to wait my turn. You could just act.
Yeah. I had a drought of non-gaming between it was right after the SNES. I didn't jump into anything until PlayStation 2. Mm-hmm. I had a friend of mine living with me at the time, and he had a PlayStation, and he also worked at the local video store rental. Mm-hmm. So he would come home with some games every now and again, and I would watch him play, or when he was working and I was home and had nothing to do, I might sit down and play some stuff.
Yeah.
But I just really wasn't doing the gaming thing during that N64, Saturn, PlayStation. During that whole segment, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I was not there with gaming. I think I was working at the movie theater at the time, so I was way into films. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't there. I did try Final Fantasy VII because I heard it was such a big deal.
Yeah.
And I tried it, and I didn't like it because I didn't like turn-based combat.
Yeah, you're in the same boat as me. I gave it a shot. I gave it a legitimate chance, but it just didn't appeal to me.
You know, and I also felt like with food that when you grow up, maybe things change. Boy, I hated this food when I was a kid, and now I really like it. So, boy, I hated this game when I was a kid. Let me see if I still like it. So, and now I don't even look at the genre they're in. I'm like, oh, does that appeal to me? Let me give it a shot and see if I like it.
Yeah.
It's never a sense of, oh, this is medieval gaming again. I don't want to be there. Nope. It's all dependent upon the game that it is, you know?
And yet, you still haven't played Skyrim.
And yet, I still have not played Skyrim.
I haven't played Skyrim either, actually. Yeah. Seen enough of it, yeah.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
I see it all over the place.
Well, look at Fallout, man. I've tried Fallout 3, nothing there. I tried Fallout 4, nothing there for me.
Yeah, I mean, I could play Fallout fine. Like I think I mentioned earlier before we broadcast, I was playing through that twice. And with the mods that came out, had another reason to start playing through that. But yeah, I could do Fallout fine. But just didn't get the idea.
But then I hear everybody tell me, well, you should try New Vegas then. If you didn't like Fallout 3 or Fallout 4, you should really play New Vegas.
I did play New Vegas.
I played New Vegas.
I've heard great things about it.
I hate Cazadores. I really don't. I still remember those things from that game. I really can't stand them.
So, yeah, never really an RPG-er. Never have been. Never have been that way. Which is odd because I played, you know, I played MMOs, which... Because I played City of Heroes.
Yeah, I was there with you, yeah.
You know, and I'm playing Destiny, not a role-playing game.
No.
But I played City of Heroes. I played, there's got to be another one that I put time into. Star Wars The Old Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are those considered RPGs? Or are they, I mean, or MMOs?
Just MMOs, I'm thinking.
Yeah, but you're still, because I remember they had servers that's the roleplay server, if you want to go in there and do that. So does that count or no? I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm probably trying to split hairs here with trying to find something that put me into an RPG camp, but I really can't think of anything. It's never been something that has been in my wheelhouse for much of anything. Mm-hmm. I tried Mass Effect, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't like that gameplay. Loved the gameplay of the second.
Yes.
So I played it. Never finished it, but I played a good chunk of it. And then I didn't jump into 3. So, mainly because I hadn't finished 2.
Yeah.
But then when I found out how bad 3 had gotten, I was like, I'm kind of glad I didn't go that far.
I'm really glad I was playing 3. Like, the whole thing with the ending hit about a week before I hit the ending. So, I'm really glad about that. Because I really enjoyed that game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think I wouldn't have finished it if I'd been further behind.
RPGs have never been my thing. Apparently never been your thing, really.
Not too much. I mean, certain types I can get into, like I said, the action. If I have to wait my turn and it's strategy-based, I'm really not going to get into it. But if it's like action-oriented or something along those lines, teamwork, things like that, yeah, I could probably get into that. But the traditional JRPG style, no, I tried it. Sure. I couldn't get into it.
I did not stick around for any JRPGs. If it was a JRPG, I knew exactly where I sat with it. I was like, nope, not playing you. I remember I tried to play, I don't know that it was considered a JRPG, but it was on the 360. It was called Blue Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say I gave that a shot. But it never appealed to me.
I mean, I keep hearing, when I think of RPGs, I keep hearing this Chrono Trigger. I mm-hmm. keep hearing that one. Or the Final Fantasy. I want to say Vagrant Story was another one.
Secret of Mana.
Secret of Mana, that one too. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
That's another one that I hear. These games have gotten accolades, and so I feel like, same thing where it's like, hey, that movie got a lot of things, you should watch that movie. I feel the same way about games. If it's gotten a big, not following, but a lot of critical praise, a lot of, over the years, just been this, it's become the classic that it is. It's like, let me find out why that's
yeah, you got my curiosity peak. I'll take a look at it, see what it's all about.
It is.
And I give it a shot and see what happens after that.
We'll go to the phones again. It may be another call looking for a phone number. But hey, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
It's Matt.
Hey, Matt. You need the number to the restaurant?
The El Nino?
The hurricane? Yeah.
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 I wish I could find that Chris Farley soundbite of El Nino. Fantastic.
Yeah.
anyway, are you headed here? Do you have time to come here? I don't know. You could, but you wouldn't be on camera.
I could, but I've been in 10 gear all day. I am super sweaty and disgusting.
Even better.
No. Oh, gosh, no.
Yeah. So what's up?
Chiming in about the RPG stuff.
What RPG do you... Well, you played Fallout, and you played the Elder Scrolls stuff.
Oh, yeah. All the way back to Daggerfall and Morrowind and all that stuff. But like even like with the JRPG stuff, I played like every Final Fantasy up until 10.
Right.
And, like, the Vagrant Story, like RJ was saying, was a good one. Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross are excellent ones. And you know, some of my favorites.
Yeah.
You know, so that was actually more in my wheelhouse than I think y'all's.
What qualifies them as RPGs?
In a general role-playing game, typically...
So then City of Heroes and Star Wars The Old Republic, those are not RPGs?
In a way. I mean, they're massively... originally they were called MMORPGs. You know,
that's true.
Multiplayer online.
That is true. And I know Knights of the Old Republic is considered an RPG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unlike, you know, Link, where it's an adventure game, you're assuming a character that, you know, you put yourself into, as opposed to... Really, like, I'm playing, you know, this one character. But, I don't know, like, classically, they were more turn-based.
Yeah.
Although that has sort of, you know, gone the wayside with something. But, you know. Mm. To have a, I don't know, epic grand feel. It's, you know, sometimes, like, categorizations get a little nebulous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because it starts to sound like it's like we know what it is, but it, I can't. I know what it is, but I can't describe it properly.
Like,
something like that.
Like art, yeah. You know.
Like what?
Like art.
Art.
I know what it is when I see it.
I swear that you said.
What did you think he said?
He said like I didn't understand that.
No.
My brain went to 9 years old again.
Stuff,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So. Well, all right, man. Thanks for calling in, of course. You'll be back here with us next week, right?
I will be.
Oh, fantastic.
Are you excited about the Red Dead Redemption trailer?
I am extremely excited about it.
Why?
Because it's Red Dead Redemption.
But what got you excited about it?
Well, I mean, I've always been on board.
Oh, I know you've been on board with it. But what got you excited for the trailer?
I mean, I like this sort of, like, I want the ability to get back into the Old West and play an Old West game.
No, but
like,
that's, yeah, I know that. That's for the game. What got you excited about the trailer?
Showing more of the story. You know, like, giving me a little...
That's
like,
legit. I'll totally take that one. That's legit. Yeah. Now, I know you're on board. I know you're there. I'm there with you. I don't get excited.
What's to come?
Right, I don't get excited about game trailers anymore because they never show me what I want to see until way closer to the time of the release of the game. I want to see gameplay. I don't want to see I'm especially something like Red Dead. I'm already there. I don't care what your story is. I'm already there. So show me gameplay. So that's why I don't get excited about something like that. So.
I think with like Red Dead, you know what the gameplay is going to be.
Not necessarily. It's been a while. They could have tweaked some things. I'm sure they have tweaked some things. So I'd like to see.
You know the general. You know it'll play like a game. You know.
I know, but I still. It's.
I don't think they're going to have the gameplay tweaks as much as like Mass Effect 1 and 2.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at, let's keep it in the Rockstar universe. You look at Grand Theft Auto 5. Here we are suddenly with three main characters that we can switch from on the fly anytime. Completely brand new, not been done before. So I'm kind of curious, what are they going to do with Red Dead? Are they going to give you that option? Do you get to form up a posse that you can switch between your members of? I don't know. These are questions that I have that's why I want to see gameplay and I want to learn more about it that a trailer just doesn't give me.
Yeah.
So that's my whole thing. And it's fine. That's subjective. It's not a thing that I expect anybody else to be that way with. Get excited for what you get excited for is my philosophy. What else was I going to... I was about to ask you something else, and I've completely forgotten what it was. Not just about Red Dead, but it was something else, and I can't remember. So, anyway. All right, man. Well, we appreciate you calling in.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye, Matt.
Oh, Matt, I remembered.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Did you play the Detroit demo?
I did not play the Detroit demo.
We do that before you come back next week.
Is it still available?
Yeah, it's still available. It's quick too. I mean, it's a fast. You mean
yeah?
You can the playthrough is very fast, and you can do it multiple times. So yeah, it's still available.
Okay.
So yeah, put some time in that. I'm really curious because RJ's played it, I played it, and I'd like you to put some time into it too.
Sure.
So all right, man.
I think I could tear myself away from BattleTech long enough.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You should. All right, man. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
See you now.
Yeah. Good. Glad. He called in. We have to take another break. We're going to go. We're going to come back and finish off the show here after this break. We've got music here from Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. We'll be right back. I don't remember what the title. I think it's the main menu music for this thing. The title for the game is way too long to fit on the thing, the screen.
The scrolling marquee? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it just gets the D at the end of it. And now, so if I'd put a track title after it, nothing. Mm. So, yeah. But it was like the main title music or whatever. Mm. So, we'll be back with more in Game Chat after this.
other tropical storms must bow before El Nino. Yo soy El Nino. For those of you who don't habla español, El Nino is Spanish for the Nino.
And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from Transformers, War for Cybertron. It's the main theme from that game. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Sarah. It's amazing. I put a bunch of... You saw the articles that I had marked here for us to talk about, and we haven't touched on a single one of them. I only put the Red Dead Redemption article to remind me that the trailer opened this weekend, or the trailer released this weekend, or this past week. That's the only reason I had that there. Anybody have any idea yet what the running theme has been for the music? No guesses? Mm-hmm. Maybe I've started putting a prize on that thing to get more people to...
Epic Adventures?
Yeah.
That's too broad, isn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. What did we have? We had StarCraft II, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, Total War. What was that one I just played?
Transformers
War for Cybertron. I've already forgotten.
Yeah. Sonic Transformed Racing.
Yeah. So.
Spam Daddy says Space Adventure.
No, not Space Adventure. No. Anyway, we'll get to that towards the end of the show, which is getting closer. I really don't have anything much to talk about here. It looks like Bungie's going to actually release that Music of the Spheres thing from Destiny, which was an original composition that they did when D1 was releasing. And it was this thing that each planet in the game had its own theme and its own music, and it all flowed together. And so it was something they eventually did not release, but people pieced it together over time and released it. And then Activision was like, no, don't do that. And we'll do it ourselves, I guess. Bungie seems to be in a lot of, I don't want to say backtracking mode, but in a or backpedaling mode, but in a, let's not piss off the fans. Let's stop doing that. Let's stop, upsetting our fan base. So when they talked about them not releasing the music, Bungie's like, okay, we'll release it. When they talked about all the problems with Destiny 2, okay, we'll fix it. You know, instead of sitting on their hands like they used to do with some of their with some of the ways that they would fix things. So I don't know. Spam Daddy says, let's talk about Chris Roberts, cash-milking Star Citizen, and wonder what happened to him between Wing Commander now. I can't give you any on that. I know Matt probably could. I know he put money into Star Citizen. But, I don't know. That's a... What was the name of Vaporware? Is the name of things that exist but don't actually exist.
Mm-hmm.
And Star Citizen seems to be looking more and more like that's the case. One of the things I backed on Kickstarter finally wrapped this past week, which it is not the Myst thing, but it was the remake of Fireball Island board game. Yeah, that finally finished. Fireball Island, if anybody is not familiar with that. Were you ever familiar with that game, Fireball Island? Long time ago, Milton Bradley released a game called Fireball Island. It was very, very gimmicky. Again,
right.
Pulled me in on the gimmick, like Mousetrap pulled me in on the gimmick. I never played
it. Was it actually like a 3D island?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And you could put marbles in it and it would go down and whatever. I never played a single legit game of Fireball Island. I just pulled it out and put my guys on the board somewhere and then put marbles through the thing and knocked them off. That was it. Mousetrap. Never played a legit game. I just set the thing up, pulled the boot back to knock the marble down and watch it do its thing.
But did you have Raise the Titanic?
No.
That was an epic gimmicky game.
Really?
Yeah, there was a board, like a Monopoly board, and then in the center there was an actual plastic model of the Titanic.
Mm.
And it was loaded with artifacts, and you had to dive and retrieve artifacts, and then as you got enough stuff off,
yeah,
the model was on a spring,
oh,
and so it actually floated up to the surface.
Oh, okay.
It was amazing.
Wow. See, that's something I totally would have bought into only to do that one little thing. Like, I wouldn't legitimately play the game. I still, to this day, have no idea what the rules are to play Fireball Island, what the rules are to play Mousetrap. There might be a couple of other games I have no idea. But I never played them. I just set them up and then released their gimmick and then set it back up to do their gimmick all over again. It was ridiculous. But Fireball Island, I remember wanting to buy Fireball Island. I can't remember how old I was. But I left my dad a note because I was either getting paid an allowance or I had some money from cutting grass or something.
Yeah.
And I left him a note one time saying, with a clip out of a Sears catalog or something for whatever. And I was like, Dad, I know you don't want me to spend my own money, but I would like to take... It only costs this much, and I was writing down how much it costs. It's only this much money. Can I please spend it on this? And he's like, sure. So I bought it, and I didn't play a single bit. It's at the house somewhere. It's probably in the attic. The actual old game is probably still in the attic. So, yeah. So that wrapped up. I don't really have much else. The VR version of Oblivion, which was what the guys from Myst were working on. Oblivion's been out for over a year now. But the VR version for PlayStation will finally get released, I believe, Tuesday, actually. The VR version of Oblivion on PS4 will finally be out there. Free update to anybody that already owns the game. Game's $30 if you don't already own it already. So, oh, there's the link to Raise the Titanic.
Yes.
I am very curious about this. It sounds completely up my alley to be that gimmicky.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. Yeah. No, you never saw this in my life. That's interesting.
Yeah,
look at that.
It was like my favorite board game.
That is, yeah, I totally would be into that. That's interesting. Huh, no. Is that a cat in the box in the picture? It is. One of the pictures, there's a cat sitting in the board game box that's emptied. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. I don't know where to go with this. What are you looking forward to playing? I mean, you're going to be playing Destiny, I guess, next week.
Yes.
RJ, what about you? Anything?
Pretty much going to be some more MLB The Show. And probably that DLC for Destiny as well.
Right. I think we're all going to be there for the DLC for Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
At least the first week.
Yeah.
And to see if it holds us.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't fired up Destiny in 3 months, I think. It was kind of nice to get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it was because all I could ever do was come on the show and say, well, I played Destiny this week. That's pretty much it. Well, I played Destiny this week. That's pretty much it.
It was getting to the point where get a Ingram, hope for something, but I just get that one. And I don't feel like grinding anymore for anything else.
I kind of dread going back to it. Not because I dread for it to suck me in again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, I don't know if I want to go back to it. I wasn't having fun when I left you, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm not sure that I'm going to have fun, you know, coming back to it.
Yeah. I mean, you got to a point where you got stuck. I mean, nothing was getting any better. Like, I couldn't find chest armor to save my life playing to that thing. I mean, I got everything up to, like, 330 and everything, got a little personal to get it to 335, but my chest armor is the only thing holding me back. I couldn't get anything over 320 with chest armor.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get it. I mean, no matter what the free Ingrams got me or whatever I did to earn something, I was never able to get it. I kept getting leg armor more than anything else.
Yeah, Spam Daddy says, sounds like you guys are at the point with Destiny that WoW players finally hit. The grind is unavoidable no matter what face you put on it. Yeah, it's not the grind. I don't mind the grind. It was the fact that there was nothing once my grind was done. Like, I did get to my level cap, and I got to my armor level cap, my light level cap, you know?
Yeah.
Light level cap. Mm-hmm. I got to that, and I just, That was it. That was it. I had gotten to whatever little things it was trying to get now, and I wasn't much of a player in Crucible or anything like that. I'd put in the time just to get the reward at the end each week. But
that was Crucible was literally me forcing myself to go through that.
It looks like they're doing something with Crucible once this thing releases. Like they're gonna. It looks like they're pushing more, and we'll talk about it obviously next week when we get more time with it.
Yeah.
It looks like they're pushing more of the competitive play. Is that what I'm trying to think? Not the quick play, but the other one.
Competitive.
It looks like they're pushing into that area a little bit with incentives because nobody was playing that.
And that's the one I like better.
On PC, I loved it. On PC, I loved it. On console, not so much. Depending on who you could find, but on PC, I adored that whenever we got a good group.
Mm-hmm.
You get a good group that communicates and can talk, man, that thing, you can run laps around other people. It's fantastic.
We don't talk to other people, but it still works.
No, you know what I mean, though. Like, your team talks to each other, or no?
Yeah, well, there were only two of us on a team, so we always were paired with some other folks.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it was like me, James, and Matt.
Yeah.
And then we needed one more with that, and usually it was either Kevin or Jeremy. But it was just a sense of, even if it was just the three of us, or even if it was just me and James, we were still able to talk to each other and be like, where are the other two guys going? Follow them, stick together, you know, just, it was really good to kind of plan those attacks and know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that. It didn't work so much on the console, but I did love it on PC, and I'm kind of interested in getting back into it, maybe in that regard, but yeah, we'll see. They haven't even added a new raid. I think they're adding a new mode of a raid for this new one, but I haven't touched the raid on PC at all.
I don't raid.
I know.
I haven't done it. Yeah, I haven't done a raid.
I ran it on PS4 with a pickup group with one time. One time I ran it, got it done. Never went back.
Mm-hmm.
Even on PC, never went back. And I was looking for groups to like do things with from time to time just to finish out the week of like all the stuff you have to do each week. But I still never got that urge to that itch to like, hey, let's do the raid on the PC. Nope.
Mm-mm.
Never felt like it.
So, yeah, I mean, I hear that it unlocks the shop or something from that.
It unlocks another guy that you another vendor.
Yeah, that's it. Another vendor.
But he only takes he only takes credits from stuff that you earn doing the raid.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, really, the only point
tokens.
I would have,
what is it? That what they call them? I've forgotten what the currency is in Destiny now. Isn't it tokens?
Tokens.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the only reason I would have to go through that Leviathan raid really is to get that
what'd you want?
Shotgun. Shotgun. Yeah,
to get that thing out of your inventory.
Yes.
Yeah, to get out there. It's stuck there until I get it. I get the Leviathan raid under.
I keep hoping they'll fix that.
It's still in my inventory on my PS4.
Yeah, I mean, I've even got the alternate skin for it already, but no actual weapon to put it on, so it's still going to stick there regardless.
Yeah, because I finished the raid, and then it unlocks. It's like, hey, well, now you need to go do this. You got to go do the strike.
Yeah.
You got to do it within a certain amount of time, and then you'll get the weapon. And I was like, I don't really care. I had talked to, he's not in the chat room, but Drunk Degenerates, who's in the chat room. He was my go-to on PS4 usually any time when I was playing late or whatever. And he got the shotgun. He's like, it's not that great.
Yeah, so, I think it's on like two shots.
Yeah, right. So I lost the incentive of even wanting to get the shotgun.
Yeah, the incentive is getting out of the inventory. Yeah. That's my incentive right now.
I really wanted it until I found out I had to do the raid.
Yeah. And then I found the, it's been so wild, I forget the guy's name, Saint 14's shotgun. I got that one. Now I'm using that exclusively as my power weapon.
So I really enjoyed... I didn't necessarily enjoy that quest, but when you walk into his room, that was nice.
That was a good moment, yeah.
I really enjoyed that, and I hope they do more of that.
Did you get his helmet?
Is that what you get from it?
No, but I don't think you get it from the quest, but there was I got his helmet.
I'm not
it
a
was,
titan.
Like, available. Okay, you know you're not. Okay. Thought they had thought they had one of each.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Hmm. But he was a titan.
Yeah, he was titan.
So I don't have anything from him that I know of, because I'm a warlock and a hunter on PC, okay. And I'm a warlock just on PS4 that I played. But of course, I haven't done that on PS4. That's but true. Yeah, warlock and hunter on PC. I have not unlocked my Titan.
Yeah, I had one of each. I got one of each for the PS4. But yeah, because yeah. When after that quest, I saw everybody was having a lot of folks had that helmet. Running around with that. Something with light energy. It does some perk it gives you with light energy or something like that. That's pretty, from what I heard, was pretty useful.
Spam Daddy says we should have Sarah join every week. I would love that. She can only come every other week because of a D&D game. That she had. Speaking of,
yes,
we haven't talked to you since we did our D&D
no,
episode.
No, we haven't.
That was interesting. For you're talking to two guys who had never done D&D before.
Right.
So... You know,
we can't say it was 100% positive feedback.
We can or we can't?
Aww. We can.
We can, yeah, because only one person gave us feedback.
It was positive,
we're
so
like,
there
okay,
you go.
That's our 100% positive feedback on that. I got a lot of people saying that was an interesting show, that
yeah.
sort of thing, because of how it was done.
Our screw ups. Because we didn't know what it was doing.
Right. Never split the party. Why did you split the party? You're all going to die.
Splitting the party worked just fine.
Yeah, it did. But we were also noobs. We were playing on a high level of entertainment value,
yes.
not skill.
That's why we split the party by me going off.
But yeah, so that was interesting. I mean, we'll probably try and do that again. I know you really want to. God, you grin on your face. I know you really want to do that again. So
it was fun.
It was more on our DMs or our GMs sort of keeping the entertainment going. Mm-hmm. I give so much credit.
Oh yeah, he did an excellent job.
Oh
yeah.
God, he did a fantastic job. There is number one. There's no way I could have done that. And number two, for him to keep it going like he did and to keep things moving along and interesting. And it really had a good flow. He had the setup in the beginning, and then he had setup at the beginning. I see what you're laughing at. He had the setup at the beginning, then he had a little bit of thing in the second half of that, and then the second hour was consisting of like the battle or getting
yeah.
into the battle, and it all kind of culminated into this thing, and it worked just really well for the 2 hours we had it.
Yeah, suggestions when we got stuck, apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
We got stuck quick. Yeah, when we first started playing.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I rolled really low on my stats, and I deliberately yeah. took really low intelligence so I couldn't just have a character going, well, why don't we go do this thing?
Yeah, you had a lot more experience, and you could have thrown stuff like
yeah.
that out
yeah.
of there.
Yeah, Scott, you had the epitome of beginner's luck on those rolls that you had, man.
I did. I had a lot.
Super stats on
yeah.
everything.
Really good stats, and I didn't do a thing with them, really. There's
yeah.
very little. There's very little I
yeah,
can do.
Sarah did all the
to.
Work.
Yeah. Sarah and Matt, really.
I got super lucky
yeah.
with that one.
Maybe not so much Matt.
The one thing.
Yeah, Matt almost died.
Yeah, he was the one that almost died. We had to.
I was like, wait, I am a medic, so get him up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Sarah, thank you so much, as always.
Absolutely.
For coming in. We appreciate it every time you make the drive.
Yes, we do.
We appreciate it so mm-hmm. very much. Want you to do it more often.
Oh, and just a quick thing. Today
yeah.
is free comic book day. So if you
That's
have a
right.
local comic book store near you, you should totally go swing by.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is free comic book day. Do it.
Yep.
That is going to do it for us. Thank you, everybody, for joining us in the chat room and everybody listening on the stream and on the radio. Thanks to everybody who grabs it each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We used to be on the Zune marketplace. We do appreciate it. That's how long we've been around. Go to ingamechat.net. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're watching us on Twitch. Subscribe. Why not? If you're on Steam, join our Steam group. If you're on a PS4, Sarah soon to be, you can join our group there. If you're on Xbox One, we got a group there. And we've got a
Discord.
There's all this stuff that you can join in with us and interact with us and play games and all that great stuff. So thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday. Just to let you know, your next song here was Kirby All-Stars. It's the title screen for Kirby All-Stars. So is there any kind of idea of how they were all connected?
All-Star Games?
You're close, but no.
Okay.
Not really.
Like compilations of various characters from one universe put together, something like that?
Not even that. Do you have any idea, Sarah?
I got nothing.
So we have Kirby All-Stars. We have, well, okay. they were all games that had either Star or War in the title for Star Wars Day yesterday. That's it. That was it. That's all it was. Like I said, very elaborate.
Happy Revenge of the Fifth, everyone.
Exactly. Have a great week. See you next Saturday. Yeah, it was all Star and Wars in the title. So, or Star and War. Stars and War. I don't know. Whatever.
We get it.
Bye.
We get it.